Thank you. power. We give you the honor. And Father, we thank you for all the grace that you have given us right now. We thank you for all the dispensations that you have given us, Father. Father, we don't take it for robbery. We don't take it for granted. But Father, we stand in faith, covenant agreement right now that this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice. We shall be glad. No more shall we walk in the spirit of fear. No more shall we walk in the spirit of doubt. But Lord God, we will lift up our hands and praise your name. Praise your most holy name. Father, we come in agreement with your plan. We come in agreement with your purpose. We stand in faith right now, looking at you, putting our eyes on you, letting you see that we are here committed for whatever it is. Father, we may have went through different storms and different rains and different things and different situations and different circumstances, but God, we are still here with the praise. We are still here with glory. We are still here waiting for your next move. We are keeping our eyes on you. And Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you are turning things into our favor, that Lord God, that doors shall open, that contract shall be signed, that keys shall be given in the name of Jesus, that we shall have a residence right now, that we shall have a headquarters, Father, a place where we can launch forth and do the things that we need, a foundation. I speak it into existence right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, all resources shall come, Father, that we may do the work of the Lord, that we may do the will of you, Father. We may do your purpose. And Father, I speak right now that, Father, every hindrance, every struggle, every stronghold, it is broken now by the authority of Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of Jesus over it right now, that our families are coming back, that our children are being saved, that Father, that our bank accounts are being opened. Father, we thank you that, Father, there'll be no lack, Father, going forward. There'll be no negativity. There'll be no withdrawal. There'll be no dryness, but saturate the very essence of our lives. In the name of Jesus, I speak it into the existence that, Father, there's a fresh wind that's blowing. There's a fresh move over your air and over your people, that, Lord God, we're not in despair, but, Father, we have hope for what's to come. We have courage. We have joy. We have peace, and we claim it right now in the name of Jesus, that we shall do great things this day and forevermore in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you. I thank you right now as you begin to pluck out the stones of your people in their hearts. Go and fix everything. Take out that animosity. Take out that depression. Take out that hatred. Take out that frustration. Take out that irritation. And Father, restore it with joy, with peace, with comfort, with the certainty, with confidence. You have not given us the spirit of fear, but have love, power, and a sound and strong mind. And we thank you for those things that you are giving to us, that you are dispensing to your people. I thank you. I glorify you. I magnify your name. I lift you up. And Father God, I pray that anything that I have said throughout these courses of months, years, and weeks that we have spent with your people, Father, I pray that you make me better than I was before. Increase my knowledge, increase my wisdom, Father, that I may lead your people, but not only just my wisdom and knowledge, increase theirs, God. Let the same access that I have be the same access that you give them, Father. And God, grow them up, Father, as your sons and daughters, as your true disciples, as your true servants, Father, that we may go and do great works and do greater works and do greater works and do greater works and do greater works in the name of Jesus. Father God, that we may be able to heal, set free, deliver, and restore in the name of Jesus by speaking, preaching, and living your word. Father, let our lives be a praise unto you. Let it bring you glory. Let it bring you honor. In the name of Jesus. And if you agree with me, come on and give God some praise. Give God some accolades. Come on and put it on the screen. Put it whatever you can. Lift up your hands. Come on and give God a hallelujah. Give him a shout. Just as if you was in a sanctuary. God, we praise you. God, we magnify. I praise you. I break every curse. I break every shackle. I break every stronghold. Generational curses are being broken right now. Father God, healing is taking place right now. In the name of Jesus, blood pressures are being eliminated right now. It's being released down. It's being brought down. That Father God, sugar and all these different insulin levels that once were high are starting to be leveled out, Father. I come against this COVID-19 situation. Father, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. And Father God, you said that God and everything must bow down to you and everything must give you praise and give you glory. glory. And Father, we speak the victory over COVID-19. We stand in faith covenant agreement right now that this sickness or this disease shall not hit our homes or anybody's homes any longer, but those numbers shall start to peel back. That Father God, that those cases shall not be as much as they were, but they'll start to minimize, Father. I even pray, Father, that this vaccine or whatever it is, Father God, remove anything that the enemy has designed to cause harm to your people. But Lord God, we thank you for the balm of Gilead that's about to fall fresh on your people and heal them supernaturally and miraculously. I speak it, I believe it, I've seen it, and I thank you that, Lord God, your balm, as we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, it shall take place. So Father, as I got my hands stretched out in faith covenant agreement over this world, heal this nation, heal this land, heal this world, Father. Deliver right now in the name, I plead, the blood, God, the blood, God, the blood, God, the blood, God, the blood, God. Go, Father, send your anointing into the hospital rooms. Send your anointing on that hospital bed. Resurrect them, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. For God, there is work to do. There is glory to be given, and there's a praise that is due to you, Father. And we give you honor. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. He's worthy. He's worthy to be lifted up. He's worthy to be magnified. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy to be praised. Come on and give him praise. Give him glory. I know there's more than myself on here. I know there's more than many people, but come on and give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful, Father, for all that you are doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Father God, we thank you. We give you honor and we give you praise. I am so grateful to be here this morning. Oh, hey, I feel the presence of God. My God, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hey, God, Deba, Shite, Nanabo, say, who, Gramba, Debe, Shitia, Nanabo, Rokosha, Glenabo, Shay, my Father. Yes, God, do it, God. Do it, Father. Do it, God. Do it, do it, do it, God. Do it, Tedaba, say, do it, God. Do it, Father. Do it, shifting, move, breakdown, destroy. Take back your people, Father. Take back your people. Oh, Father, I speak establishment now. I speak foundation right now. I speak doors opening now. I speak contracts being signed. I speak keys being given. I speak new ways being made. I speak businesses being started in the name of Jesus. Father, we shall start to come up, God. This is the grand come up, Father. Let there be a fresh wind that's blowing over your people now. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Oh, tell me. Ooh, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Yeah. Jesus. Jesus, oh, Jesus, Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, tell me, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to flee. Oh, tell me, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Come on and give God praise. He's worthy to be adored. I'm so grateful to be here today, coming on this radio broadcast, this podcast that we have for RTRMI Radio. I know that you could have been anywhere doing anything, but I'm so glad that you are right here with us today. And I believe God has a word for you that will encourage your life, that will set you free, that will put food into your spiritual soul and nourish you today. I'm just so grateful. But I just want to thank you all for just coming and supporting this ministry over the years. This has been a phenomenal year for many of us. This has been a I know everything's going on. You ain't got to tell me. I know what's been going on, but I am still giving God praise and giving God glory for what he has done and for what is to come. But I am believing that God is going to turn the page for us, and he's going to open up another chapter for us going into the next season of this ministry. And I'm grateful that I'm able to share this and be a servant to each and every one of you. And I thank you for all your support for the year of 2020, as today is the last Sunday of this year. Praise God. And come on and give God praise, because we are making it through. We're moving forward. Amen. Amen. So I want to share a few things with you about this word that God has given us. And I believe that God is going to really bless your hearts and bless your mind. And just for those of you that we thank you for your support. We thank you, Father, that you know, you've have been supporting us throughout the day. I hope that you have had a very Merry Christmas, and I believe you are going to have, I'm not going to just say a Happy New Year, I'm going to say a phenomenal New Year. I mean, something that's going to just blow your mind. I'm thankful for all those that was able to show up at our little gathering that we had. I believe that next year we're going to even do it bigger and better. I'm so grateful for what we have and all of you that came out or was able to come out. I'm so glad to see you all, and we shall see each other very soon. I believe it. I know that we're in the process of putting some things together. We're not going to let certain things stop us, but yes, we're going to be wise and hopefully have some more fellowships and still have our podcast where we can fellowship together and it'll be overcome by the testimony of the saints. So be looking forward. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes peeled back. Let's go ahead and start the process of getting ready for the next season of our lives. Yes, I do believe God is about to turn this page, and it's going to be a phenomenal thing that he is going to do. I feel it in my spirit. You know why I know? Because we are still breathing. And the Bible says that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So as long as we give him praise and he is used to that praise, I do believe he likes to keep us around just so we can get that praise. But we got to make sure that we praise him. So come on, don't you ever go a day or go a moment or go a minute without making sure that you acknowledge him by giving him praise and giving him glory. And right now, let's take a quick break and praise him right now. So lift it up in the podcast, lift it up on the screen. I want to see everybody just give God praise, give God glory. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. Amen and amen again. I want to go ahead and get into our podcast, and I'm going to kind of just go into it. I just believe God has some things that he's about to do, and I'm just so excited about it. I can't even really put my finger on it, but I put my spirit on it, and I know that it's something that's going to happen. It's going to break forth, and we got to make sure that we're in the right position so that we'll be able to receive it. Amen. You know, receive it. My God. Yeah, I see you. I see you on here. I see you. Praise God. Yes, lift your hands. Clap him. Yes, yes. He's worthy to be praised. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. And I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. You know, as we come down to the end of this, we come down to basically an end. Even though this is the end, but it's not an ending. This is really just an end of one particular season or a moment of our lives. But if we look back and reflect on a few things, we have faced many things that have stolen our assurance for any hope for the future. The worst has happened, and the loss we try to avoid is the loss that forced itself into our lives. Although we are battered and scarred and feel our wounds scream from the slightest movement, our minds have played the scenes of devastation, despair, and turmoil, and that thing creates an undesirable storyboard. It forces its intentions of doubt and fear upon us, diminishing the hope that took a lifetime to build, bullying us to accept the reality of our now and what may be. Yes, it's true. We did not anticipate the set of events that has left us weary, left us drained from trying to go beyond what is before us, trying to fight through the thick cloak of darkness, turning to and fro in search of a spark, a glimmer of hope that will reach out and send a lifeline or a rescue committee or aid in our desperate attempt to flee the past. The broken scales of our existence, unfavorable circumstances that have lashed hold to our necks, determined to squeeze the breath, the precious breath our Father breathed into us at creation, with a blood-stained target on our backs, clawing the jagged terrain of 2020, desiring to be released from all the agony and the pain that has caused our knees to grow weary and our eyes to grow dim. Now, this would be an accurate assumption of our lives up to this moment, of course. This moment, you know, this moment which we've always preached as being just a temporary stop in our journey. And although we found a sweet spot and we are tempted to settle in the place of comfort, we have pulled over to the side, depleted of resources, and where we have been forced to abide is not the place. It's not the place that we are destined to try to get to. It is lacking what we need to be recharged. It's lacking what we need to be renewed. It's lacking what we need to be energized. It's lacking what we need to be refueled. And although this place is filled with distractions that seem to occupy and satisfy our flesh, we find it is only temporary. It is only the place of just a moment or for a season or for a time. We find ourselves in a place where we need the fuel to finish. We need the fuel to finish. We need that thing that's going to allow us to finish this race. And even though we're getting to the point in many of our hearts and in our minds and many things that we have faced and many things that we have gone through and many things that we had to experience and many things that we had to endure and many things that seemed to overtake us and many things that seemed to try to wipe us out. And although we had our hands on the towel ready to throw it in, it was something that God would not allow us to do it, but he held on to that towel and told us, don't you throw in that towel, but take that towel and wipe the sweat off your brow, because there is more that you have to do. That's the place where we find ourselves. That's the place where we get to that place where we're exhausted and we're tired and we want to throw it all away, but we can't throw it away, because even in throwing in it all, even though the bath water may be dirty, you can't throw the baby out with the bath water. And even though the milk may be spoiled, all of the milk wasn't spoiled. And even though, my God, even though that there may have been a few apples that may have been rotten in this bunch, in this basket of 2020, all the apples were not rotten. Even though it was bad, everything wasn't as bad as it could have been. So we find ourselves in a stopping ground. We find a place where we find ourselves grateful, but yet weary. We find ourselves thankful, but yet tired. We find ourselves appreciative, but yet uncertain. We find that place in that crossroad of our lives where we want to move forward, but we have so many things that's pulling us back. And even though we are strong, strong in spirit and strong in our faith, there is a bit of resistance that begins to suck out the very life of us. And it is the things of our past. It is the things that we may have spoken. It is the things that we have created. It is the mindsets, my God, that the enemy tried to put on us and begin to cause itself to manifest into our lives. It is those things, those errors and those mistakes. It is the things that God has told us not to do, but we did it anyway. It is the things that he warned us about and he said to stay away from. But because of the curiosity of our flesh, we grabbed hold to it and we got burned. And because of grace and mercy, he had to come back around and lather us up again with his balm of healing, with his balm of mercy and his balm of grace all over again. And even in that, he did not cause us to turn around and go back to where we were, but he positioned us in a pool. My God, I feel something over my life. He positioned us in a place where we're not in a bush. We're not bad off. We're not where we were 2 or 10 years ago. We are not where we were when we didn't have any place to reside and lay down our head. We weren't where we were when we were rejected and nobody wanted to have us or nobody wanted to be with us. We're not in that place, even though the place that we're in does not give us what we need. It is still better than the place where we were. And sometimes it's easy to stay in a place of comfort than to move forward into the launching out into the deep that he has ordained for us to walk into. And this is where we are. This is where those pages begin to turn and we look at all the photographs and all the snapshots of the disappointments over our lives, but yet we still remember the victories of our lives. We're in that place where we are transitioning, going from the places where we may have been weary and groan in the dark light, now coming into a glimmer of hope, but yet we can't seem to go past now. We turn the key on our car of our lives and this engine starts, but we're depleted of the fuel. And although we have now come to a place where we've traveled along as far as we can go, we are now in a place where we find ourselves pulling on the side of the road at a rest stop. And it wasn't because we could not go. It wasn't because we wanted to stop. It's just because we could not go further. And the place that we find ourselves doesn't have fuel. It is interesting that I remember when me and my wife were driving back from somewhere and in our car that we have now, which is a newer car, I was looking at the gas needle and I began to say, you know what? I think that I will be okay. The gas needle was leaning close to the E. It wasn't on E, it was leaning close to E. It was leaning on E. And in my mind, based on my previous experience of the previous vehicle, I knew that, okay, in my experience, that it is almost, I know that we can make it to where we need to go. We may have had about 10 or 15 more miles out. And the tricks and the training that I have being a professional Uber driver, the training and the tips and all the tricks that I knew by gauging the gas level at the time by where it was, I could determine that, okay, that means that I will have a certain set of miles that I can make it out to. So that way I'll have hope in the ability of what I know to get to the destination that I believe that I can make it to, even though I'm running low on the fuel that I need to push my vehicle to where it needs to go. I am pulling on the faith that I have from what I had before to get me to where I was. And you may think that is okay sometimes, but you have to understand this very thing, that you are now operating and stepping into a new season of your life. And even though you are stepping into a new season of your life, you have to take that mindset that you had before, all the devastation and all the things you had to do based on the circumstances that you have, meaning that when you had lack, you adjusted yourself because of lack. When you didn't have anything, you adjusted yourself and made it okay not to have anything. When you tried to go for a particular thing and it seemed to be a rejection, you adjusted yourself to say, okay, then I guess, you know, it's not for me to have right now. But I believe that we are operating and stepping into a new season. And what I begin to realize is that, okay, I am in a new vehicle. And my mindset from my older vehicle will not fit or will not work in the new dispensation of what God has done in my life. And the reason is this. Because I do not understand the new at this moment. It is still fresh. I'm still learning it. I'm still trying to figure out how to turn it on. I'm still trying to understand what the different signs and the different readings on the dashboard may read. I'm still trying to get used to operating and adjusting to the very thing that is new, but I cannot take the mindset of my old into the new. And although I didn't realize it, but although the gauge said 19 miles to it stops, all of a sudden when we pulled on the interstate in the new vehicle, it began to just go blank and it started to beep empty, or low fuel. That was the sign. And I begin to think about it this morning, because what I realized is this, is that I did not understand that I needed to have a certain amount of fuel to get to my destination. I can't bank on my experiences or my own knowledge or my events of the past. But being in a new season, I had to look at the gauge and go by the gauge and not my experience. What am I saying to you right now? Hey, God, it is Shando. And this is something that is getting, hey, shot. It's coming fresh from heaven. I hope you're catching this, and I hope this is blessing you. I hope this is blessing you. You cannot put new wine into an old wineskin. And this is not even the message of my sermon, but we're going to go for it anyway. You cannot put the old things of 2020 into the compartment that is getting ready for you to be launched into 2021. Because what I realize is that you do not understand that the vehicle that you have does not operate the way that it was, meaning that your life now does not operate how it did 15 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, an hour ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 months ago, a year ago. It does not operate now where God has gotten you right now in this moment, right here on this podcast, this day. He's brought you over hell. He's brought you over hindrances. He's got you over high water. He's gotten you over and through devastation. He's caused you to be stretched. He's caused you to be struck. He's caused you to change in certain ways. And you cannot put that same mindset in the old wineskin. Because when you put it in the old wineskin is not qualified or equipped or made to endure or to receive all that God is about to give you for this next season of your life. Come on, that's a prophecy right there. Take it and put it in your pocket. What God is about to do in your life, he's allowing you to get into a place where the vehicle, where the thing, or where the place you are is uncertain. It's so uncertain and so new to you that you cannot even go by your experience. But you have to rely on the very message off the dashboard. And what is that message? That is the voice of God giving you the signs and giving you the wonders. Now, what I realized and what I found out was this, and I didn't even read it, but I believe God has showed it to me, is that in the new vehicle, there is a thing called a reserve. What is a reserve? Well, a reserve is where it is a certain amount of gas that may not be actually identified, so to speak, but there's a certain amount of gas that allows you to go a little further than what is read on the gauge. This is designed so that when you look at the gauge, it causes you to react to the urgent message that you are getting. And I believe that God is speaking to us right now. He is saying to us, you need to make sure that you begin to be aware and hear the message of what he's saying. Because what he's about to do, he's trying to get us into a place where we are listening to his voice and we see his move and we see his hand so that we can stop further destruction from taking place in our lives. Y'all better hear this and catch this good. He is allowing us to make sure that we look at his voice, look at the word, and activate the word, activate the instructions that he's giving us by way of the Holy Spirit, so that we can avoid further destruction of the vehicle and the season of the moment that we are in. Think about it like this. One thing that I did learn about this is that the more that you run your car, be it a new car, be it an old car, and you're running on fumes, as my wife had said, what happens is the bottom of the tank begins to get sludge and junk and dirt and whatever the case may be, all that stuff. It gets all that stuff in there. And the more you run on those fumes and don't put the proper amount of, oh my God, I just got it. Don't put the proper amount of fuel in the gas tank, you have the tendency to burn and work your car more than you need to work it, meaning that the car gets hotter. It does not operate the way that it needs to. It doesn't work efficiently as it needs to because of the fact it has nothing to replenish itself. It's just running on fumes, and those fumes cause the engine to react a different way than what it has been designed to. So I believe that what God did, when we came on the interstate, I was telling my wife, I said, hey, we got about 19 miles. I think we're going to make it. We should be good. She's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, we good. I know, because I know that in my past experience that it blah, 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 blah. As soon as I got on the interstate, I felt so confident in what I knew. I felt so confident in my ability. But all of a sudden, the Lord spoke and says, hey, low fuel. And even though we could have pushed it, why push it when God is giving you a firm direction to tell you, say, hey, low fuel, let's go to the side. So immediately when I saw the low fuel, I said, you know what? Yeah, something in my spirit said, nah, I'm not going to chance it. Let's go and pull over to the side. We still had about 15 more miles to go. Wasn't far from where we was going, but we had 15 more miles to go. And it might have seemed to be an inconvenience. Oh, my God, here it is. It might have felt like an inconvenience because we was trying to get to our destination. Oh, God, Jesus. Sometimes God would allow you to pull over. And it may be inconvenient for you. It may be at a point where it's not a good place to pull over. But we got to be in tune with what he is saying. We got to be in tune with what he is doing. Because what happens is that when he tells you to pull over, he's not doing that willy-nilly. He's not trying to get you irritated. He's not trying to get you upset. He's not trying to get you frustrated. But he's trying to protect you, warn you, and save your season and preserve your life so that you will know and you will understand that he is the one that leads and guides us. And he leads and guides us. He is an ultimate shepherd. He leads us to those places. He wants to get us to those green pastures. And I believe that we had to pull over and get refueled for the journey of what's to come. And here is where we are right now. I know that you have been depleted. I know that you have been tired. I know that you wanted to throw in the towel. And there is a little bit of praise that's inside of you that you have left. But I want to let you know one thing and one thing for certain, that God has already ordained for you to finish. And the very thing that is there, that little bit that you don't have, is the reserve. Because what happens is that the Holy Spirit now is interceding for you. And have you ever figured out you don't know how you're moving in a particular circumstance or a certain situation, but you know that you're moving, you haven't completely broke down, you haven't completely stopped. You haven't completely given up. You haven't completely lost your faith, but you're at that point where you're getting close. It's because there is a reserve in that tank. And that reserve is the hand of God that is saying, I know that you're frustrated. I know that you're irritated. I know that you seem like things don't go your way, but just trust me. I got a little bit left in the thing, and I'm going to get you to the place where you can be refreshed again, and then your joy shall be fulfilled. The fuel to finish. It is that place of this very one thing. Philippians 1:6 says that being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Meaning that if God has already gotten you on the path and he has preserved you, he has kept you, he has maintained you, he has sustained you. And even though it seems like your outer flesh, the armor that you have is being beaten and is being scarred, is being dinged, is being torn, is being ripped, God has begun the work. And if God has done the work and started the work, and what is that work that he has begun in you? Is that what God did in you is that even though your outer flesh is being attacked, your inner man is being preserved. Your inner man is being restored. You're going through the process. You're going through the training. You're going through the chastisement. You're going through the proving and the proofing ground. You're being stretched. You're being experienced. You're being trained to walk into this next season. So if God has done all this by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins and to make sure that he does all that whole pulling of the heartstrings and brings us to a place where we were at the club in one season, then all of a sudden we want to get a drink, then that drink that we get is not even tasty anymore. It doesn't even satisfy anything. And we get tired of that drink and we get tired of going to the club and we start identifying, our eyes open, where we see the same people doing the same thing, wearing the same clothes, doing the same thing over and over again with the same lines, with the same dances, with the same music. No matter how the year shifts, it's the same thing over and over again. And we thought at one time that was exciting. We thought at one time that we were in the place. We thought at one time when we were away from it that we would miss it. But when we get to that place where we just get kind of tired of it after a while, and then we say, you know what, I'm not going to the club this weekend. I'm not going over here this weekend. And all of a sudden, we don't miss it anymore. We have more peace staying home. When you get into a relationship that you know you're not supposed to be in, then they do the same thing over and over again. There's no excitement. And I'm not talking about a marriage relationship. No, I'm not. I'm talking about those relationships that you should not have been in. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know. We all adults here. Let's go and get real. Let's get with it. That season of your life where you were connected to the wrong thing at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing in the wrong places in the wrong time. And all of a sudden, it just doesn't have the same excitement anymore that you had in that place when it wasn't ordained by God. And you can't find yourself to get away. Now you got a soul tie. You got strong stuck to something that is not going the same place that you're going. Not doing the same thing that you desire to do. Doesn't have the same dreams. Doesn't have the same desires. Doesn't have the same ability or the same desire to improve themselves. They want to be stuck doing the same thing over and over again. Believing the same thing over and over again. And you get tired of that, but now, yes, you're connected to that. And so now you have no place, but you're actually stagnant. I'm talking to somebody here. I don't know who it is, but you're stagnant and you don't want to move and you get drained and you get sapped into that whole cycle. And then God comes into that place and says, you know what? I'm glad that your eyes are woken now. And now you have you don't mind losing them no more. You don't mind if they go and go somewhere else and they say, hey, you know, it's not me. It's you. Oh, yeah, I'm glad. Okay, praise God. Yes, yeah, you're right. Let's go. Let's end this right now. So we're going to be friends. Okay, well, we're not going. Okay, cool. Fine. No problem. You go. God bless you. You have your life. And then you begin to have this burden lifted off of you. And you realize that the person and the only place that can be filled in that gap is Christ himself alone. And you begin to have those heartstrings pull you again, that you all of a sudden go to a church or go to a ministry or go to something or be experienced to something that you've never been experienced before, even though you may have been taught and preached the same word over and over again. But just at this moment, at this time, it resonates in your spirit and your heart more than it ever did before. The Sunday school lessons that you got as a child are now making it seem as though it's a revelatory prophetic word in your life when it's just really the word of God. But now that the Holy Spirit has now opened up your spirit so that you may receive, and it begins to nourish and fix the damaged areas in your life. And God has now given you the grace and the mercy to be in that moment at that time. And so even when that old person from your old past comes back into your life again, that one that didn't mean you any good, you see them now and you see them in a different light. They don't have that same luster. They don't have that same shine. They don't look as good as as you did when you were in sin. But now that you have been refreshed and been renewed and your eyes have been refocused on Christ himself, the beautiful one, anything outside of that does not even be appealing to you, doesn't even attract you, doesn't even put as a desire in your heart that you choose to run from it compared to running to it like you did in the past. That is the very heartstring that God is pulling on you. So he starts to begin that work and you begin to get into a place where you understand and identify that God has a calling on your life, and he begins to move you and use you in a certain way that you've never been used before. You all of a sudden has all these weird dreams that don't make sense, but they seem to be coming over and over again, and you know there's something deeper. And the pastor tells you to pray, and when you begins to pray, he tells you to journal it down, and you begin to journal it down, and all of a sudden a prophetic word comes that gives you an insight to where God is taking you in your life, and you break down and you start crying, and you're committed to whatever thing that he has. And even that process of being committed, all your friends lose, you lose all your friends, and your family kind of turn on you a little bit, but you're still standing firm in God. And as you begin to go forth and learn, and God begins to shape you and mold you, then you come back and lay hands on them, and they begin to see the anointing and the calling and the gifting in your life, even though you thought you were rejected. And then you now continue to go forth, and now he's gotten you into a platform and gotten to a place where you're able to speak. Y'all better follow along with me, because what God is doing, he started that work from the beginning when you were in your mess and in your muck. He started pulling you out of that and begin to prepare you and begin to clean you up and begin to take you to a place where, even though you're now dealing with a pandemic, you have the faith stronger. Your faith is wider. Your faith is bigger. Your faith is more solid than it was back in the day. And you'd understand that that very thing that would have taken you out in one season, you now have matured, and now your faith is strong to say, God, you do it. God, you fix it. I pray. I plead. You start stepping into that level of authority. And when you start stepping into that level of authority, you begin to release the power that God has been given you all along. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You start releasing that thing. That is the thing that God has begun. He starts pulling you into that place. He starts pulling you to that place where you begin to see that yes, I understand now that the value that I put on myself a long time ago is not the same value that God sees me in right now in this moment, because I realize now that I am a heir through to the throne of God. I have power. I have authority in Jesus. My God, that's the place. And that is that very thing, that fuel that puts you and drives you to the finish. And even though you've gone through all those things, you still get to that place where you're at a crossroad or a stumbling block. And I want to encourage you, because if you can, I want you to write this down. The title of this message is The Fuel to Finish. The Fuel to Finish. And it's probably a part of another series that God has given me. But I didn't know it was going to go this way that it is, but I'm so glad it is. And I hope you're getting a blessing out of this. Because when we understand that, and this is what I realized in my life, and it humbles me in a lot of ways, because when I understand, when I get to that place where I can't do it anymore, when I get to that place where I have exhausted my mental abilities, and here's the place, y'all gotta catch this, here's the place when you have gone outside of your own capabilities, you're at that level, you can't do it anymore, I can't take it. You know, my nerves, I'm sick of it. When you get to that place and you start getting the irritation and you start getting the frustration, you get to that place. That is the place where you begin to realize that it's not in your own strength any longer. It was always in his strength. And that is the place that humbles me, because of the fact I always think that it's my mind, it's my soul. But here's the thing that I realize, that I know, that even in those times when those situations that I'm faced with seems to be overbearing or overwhelming, be it finances, be it family issues, be it job issues, be it issues within myself, okay? God begins to show me that I am and you are greater and stronger then you know. Because of the fact of you are no longer or have no longer been doing these things on your own. But he has been along with you throughout the whole journey. And he allows you to operate in the ability that he gives you. He graces you. He gives you the gifting to do certain things to a certain level. But here's the thing. When you are now reached the level that you can get to, and there is another level required of you, it takes a supernatural force to get you into the supernatural arena. It takes something that is greater than you to get you to the place that is designed for you. It's almost as if when you go through school, there's levels of your understanding that you know. You go through kindergarten. Well, first, before you go to kindergarten, some of you may have went to preschool or whatever it's called, whatever. You go through that process where you have to learn from your parents, you know, how to potty train yourself, you know, how to do the basic functions. Once you have gotten to that level, and that's the knowledge that you have, you take those same basic functions and you go into the next grade of your life. And it takes a teacher, someone that is maybe a smarter than you. It takes a mentor or somebody, a teacher, I would say, using an example of a school, someone smarter than you to teach you based on the foundation that you already know. They add to your foundation and give you the level for the grade that you're basically surviving in. Y'all follow me. Now you're in first grade. You now go on to second grade. You take the foundation of preschool. You take the foundation of kindergarten. You take the foundation of first grade. And now you have another added from another teacher that you may not like at all or whatever the case may be. They begin to now help you get to that next level where you need to be. Then you go to the next grade and continue to do so for so on and so forth. But you don't forget where you come from, because those abilities now that you were taught are now the abilities that you should be a your MO, your MOO. It should be your MOO continuously without a thought. Method of operation. Listen to me. So think about it like this. When you're in high school, they don't have to teach you again how to brush your teeth. They don't have to teach you again how to put on your clothes. They don't have to teach you again to know what's 1 + 1, what's your ABCs, how to put a sentence together. In your high school, you've already should have graduated to that level where you are. Here's where we are. So when you reach that next level and you get beyond where you can go, it takes something supernatural to get you to the next level. It takes something that, in a sense, I say supernatural because I'm talking spiritually. It takes something now, takes something that is bigger and better than you are, that knows has already been there. Listen to what I'm saying. That has already been there to pull you into that next level. Once it gets you in that next level, it takes something else now to get you to the next level. That's where we are. I was humbled because of the fact when I find myself getting to the level of where I was, okay, in my life, whatever it was, faced an opposition and it seemed to never go the right way or was uncertain about how it was going to turn out. There was a underlying automatic response that I have learned over my years of living life. And that automatic response, the automatic purpose, the automatic trigger, the automatic goal is to glorify God and to be an example of Christ in every circumstance, in every situation. So when I found myself still frustrated and irritated, because that will come. Frustration and irritation comes, it's an identifier, it's a trigger to let you know that, okay, you have now reached the end of your, you reached the end of your abilities. Now you got to step back and take this thing spiritually. And when we take that thing spiritually, there's a peace that settles in our soul. We don't lose what we know, but we take what we know and we add to that peace that God gives us. And we also rely on his work and his ability. And we see things in a different light. we begin to see the way that work certain things out or to say certain things in a certain way to achieve the result that we need to achieve. But it wasn't something that was meant to stop you. It was something that was meant to grow you. It was something that was meant to expand you. It was something that it meant to add to the many levels of where you are. So that's why you find yourself in seasons of frustration, irritation. It's because God is stretching you and he's also allowing you to learn certain things, but you take that experience into your next season. But when you take that experience into your next season, you don't solely rely on that experience. You add to what you know. And that is by way of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, fasting, prayer, reading the word of God, making sure your heart is in the right place, making sure that you are you're being forgiven and asking and forgiving others, being peaceable, making sure that you are on the right track in your spiritual walk. That is the fuel that you need. That is the very thing that you need to get you to the next level of your life. Hebrews 12, 1 and 14. I'm going to read this real quick, and I want you to understand this. Hebrews 12, 1 through 14 starts out, and it says this: wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want to stop something right there. Let's go back to the example of a car. And this is one thing that this is a bad trick, but this is one thing that I learned. But it was interesting. Somebody told me this. It was kind of funny. I had a Datsun 810, old Datsun 810. Y'all probably never know what it was. Probably don't even remember. But it was a silver gray car that my mother gave me as my car. It was a heavy. I mean, it was steel. I mean, this is old school. It was a 1978, I think a 1981, a 1978 Datsun 810. They don't even make cars. They don't even make the car no more. Matter of fact, there's no more Datsun. It's then went to Nissan or whatever. This Datsun 810, I used to always have problems with it. I run out of gas because the needle didn't work. Right? Didn't always run the air because the air didn't work. So I had the windows down. But what I failed to realize is that when I was trying to coast in, because you know that season where you kind of judge the gauge and all that good stuff, when you're at that season, there is a resistance. When I had all the windows down, and this car was already heavy, it seemed like the mileage that I would probably calculate to get there, I'd had to factor in a different equation, which is what they call drag. If you go back to racing and all that stuff, they take that in consideration. They take in consideration drag. What is drag? Drag is basically resistance. What is resistance? Well, if you look at a car or look at anything, okay, if you ever have, as a kid, if you ever put your hand out the window while the car is rolling, you know, sitting in the back seat, and you begin to cup your hand out, you'll notice that your hand will start to push back, okay? And if that's maybe a minimal resistance, that hand, your hand will start pushing back because the wind is now being cupped in your hand, so it's causing it to push back, therefore it's causing resistance. But if you turn your hand to the side, like almost like a knife, then you'll find that it's less resistance, right? So basically, here it is. When they come to racing, they design the car in a way where it's what they call aerodynamic, meaning that when they begin to drive and it goes on the track, this design, whereas the front of it is, that's why your cars are kind of designed the way that they're designed, is that when the air that is hitting, it splits the air and it begins to flow over the vehicle to reduce the drag, the way they've designed it. They smoothed out the edges. And in some cars, racing cars, you'll see that they have the little spoiler in the back. And that's designed to kind of, you know, number one, push the car down to the track, give it more grip, okay, and minimize resistance. Now, what you see in some great drag racing cars, as they begin to get to the speed and they need to stop, there'll be a parachute that'll pop out and cause it to stop. That's the resistance, okay? So in Hebrews, what the teacher or the author is speaking to us, and this is someone that has to get you to the next level. He says, first of all, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, meaning that in our lives, we are surrounded by people, mentors, pastors, family members, those that are still here, listen to me, and those that may have even gone on. But we are surrounded by such a great cloud. And Christ being himself, Christ, all the disciples, everyone that we read in the Bible, and all the, you know, all the mentors that you have when you was a kid, your old pastor, your church pastor, all those that were really walking in this gospel. We are compassed by these such a great cloud of witnesses. Here's what happens, is that when we look and see their example of their lives, first of all, we see the things that they went through. If this is, these are the witnesses, these are talking about the good report witnesses now. It's a great cloud. These are good report witnesses. Not the ones that are shucking and diving, not them, but the ones that have really been living hold to the, grabbing hold to the gospel, living a life holy and acceptable and pleasing unto God, which is a reasonable service. You know, your grandmama and them, the ones that have been praying and on their knees, and we've watched their lives. We watched them go through different adversities that may have been worse than what we have faced. And they have learned how to position themselves in God, that they'll begin to have the faith, get everything that they need, and not worried. Not so we think they're not worried, they're not fearful. So number one, we have that example. That's number one. Then he goes and says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has given us a set path, a set course. This is our race. So he tells us to lay aside every weight. That helps you with the fuel to finish. You got to lay aside the sin. Got to lay aside the unforgiveness. You got to lay aside the animosity, the hatred, the jealousy. You got to lay that thing aside. You got to. You have to lay that stuff aside. Because if you don't lay aside, then you are that you're helping yourself. You're helping, listen to what I'm saying, you are helping yourself die right where you are. You are helping, if you don't lay that stuff aside, you're helping yourself die, to be defeated. You're helping the enemy defeat you, to stop you where you are. You got to lay that stuff aside. You cannot take it into the next season of your life. Also, and the sin. So we have animosity, hatred, all these things that we grab hold to, unforgiveness, all this stuff. But we also have the sin that is also a weight as well. What is the sin? Lying, cussing, lying, you know, fornication, stealing, all those different things. All those different things that we know are not lined up with the word of God. All those different things that basically basically allows, just kind of separates, that's the word, puts a wedge between you and God. And yes, Christ has forgiven us, but we have to make sure. Now, I'm not saying that we are sin perfect or we're sinless, but what I'm saying is that when we have to be aware of it and identify it and repent for it. If there's areas in our life where we've made mistakes, we have to repent. We have to lay that thing aside. We have to bring it to the altar and deal with it. And that begins to lift off that cloud, right? So that we may be able to run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, looking unto Jesus, here's another thing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. I'm breaking these down for you. Number one, your focus has to be in the right perspective. You have to look at the right thing. If I would not have looked at the gauge, because I went by and we was talking about this, me and Bridget was talking about this while I was in the car, and I looked at the gauge in one season and said 19, right? And if I would have turned my head and just been stuck on that and not looked back down again when we came back on and see that it said what it said, which initially low fuel compared to the 19, it didn't even give me that anymore, okay? I had to react then. Take it like this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay? Meaning that our eyes has to be on him. Now, but understanding this, when we look at Christ, he is the author, meaning that he is the writer of our destiny. Okay? He, you know, kind of like going back to Jeremiah, you know, you called her, you know, when you were in your mother's womb, I called you a prophet. I labeled you, I named you. He was there at creation, okay? And if it had not been for the work of Christ dying on the cross, okay, that rewrote our story. His dying on the cross the shedding of his blood, which was our, you know, the remission of our sins, okay? It rewrote our story where we now have, like he says, I came that you may have life, but have it more abundantly. He rewrote our story. When we were destined to die, okay, now, and we have to understand this. When we were destined to die, we are now destined to live. He rewrote the story. Now, it says that he's also the finisher of our faith. Now, that's an interesting thing, because what that basically means is anything that is a finisher, that means that they put the finish, they make it get to the stage or the stage of completion. They make it get to that place where it's beautiful, it's beautified, it's beautiful, it's completed, it's everything that needs to be done to it at the end of it, it's done. When a person is building a house, there's a person that comes in and they do the finishing touches, like the little elements that the major contractors may not do. They'll come in and do the extra design embellishments that, you know, that the buyer wants to have on the house. Like they may want to do, hey, I want to have this engraved and whatever, blah, 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 and this capped off, and I want this crown. Then there'll be somebody that comes in, they kind of finish that up. They'll do the basic work, but then the finisher comes in, he does the detailed, intricate work that needs to be done. That's what Christ does. He's the finisher of our faith. He's that one that at the very end, he makes sure everything is together how it needs to be. Listen to what I'm saying. He makes sure everything is where it needs to be. He begins to you know, if there's any sin that is in our life that would keep us from reaching, being presented to God, he covers that with his blood, our sin. He covered with that with his blood, and he begins to be the intercessor as well from us to God. Now, seeing that, how he endured that process, okay, and we find joy in that. Because he endured the process of being beaten, whipped, shamed, torn down, torn apart, dying on the cross, spat on, pierced in the side, all that stuff, okay? Died on the cross, he endured the cross, even though as embarrassing as it was, as shameful as it was, as rejected as he may have felt, he was resurrected, rose from the dead, and now he sits in a place of authority at the right hand, at the throne of God. Now, as I've taught before and I've said before, we are seated in him. So when we look at the life of what Christ has done, okay, and we see all the things that he went through, but also see how he handled everything, okay, we know that he's the one that wrote our story. He's also the one that finished our story. What that really does mean in another aspect of that is he is the example that we look for. He is the example. Okay, I'm writing whatever I'm writing, I'm letting you know I'm going to walk this thing. I'm going to walk it out before you. I'm going to walk your life out before you. I'm going to allow you to see that at the worst stages of life, but yet see the glory at the end. So when we fix our eyes on that and we see that, that gives us fuel to make sure that we can rise from whatever we're going through and get to the journey. For consider him, I'm going to the third verse of Hebrews 12, 1 and 3. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, let ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Number 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Sometimes God will rebuke you. God will stop certain things. He will say, no, you can't do this. No, you was wrong for that. No, you're sinning. No, stop doing this. Don't touch that. Don't do this. And that thing can be so hard for us sometimes that we find ourselves stagnant. But we got to go past that, because we have to understand that when God says no, or when God identifies or something is called out in us that we knew that we weren't supposed to be doing, and he calls us, that's just like you chastening your child and telling them not to do the things that they do. But you still love that child, and you still want to encourage that child to continue on from there. That's the same thing that God does. So that love right there, that chastening, that care, that love helps us and pushes us to do the right thing and do it better than before. So we continue to go on. That is the fuel to finish. I'm going to go down a little further. That if you endure chastening, God dealeth with us as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? meaning that we're a part of his royal priesthood. We are no longer bastards. We're no longer castaways, but we have been adopted by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can now call him Abba, Father. But like in 8, it says, but if you be without chastisement, wherefore all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? In other words, when God brings you to these places where they're meant to stretch you and meant to grow you, we still give him reverence. We still honor him, and we still try to honor them by living our lives with that correction, as if we got it. We got this and we move forward. That honors them. That honors God. When you come from a place where you were doing wrong and he gets on you and he chastises you, or he uses someone else to chastise you, be it a prophecy or be it the prophecy you get yourself or the word of God, and you're convicted in your heart to change, that honors him when you actually do change and you begin to try to strive for that. And that right there is an inspiration to want to make sure you're in right standing and continue to go on in spite of any adversities. I'm going to drop down to 12, Hebrews 1 and 12. And I'm going to close this out in a few, and I have another scripture I want to go through. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Basically saying this, lift up your hands which hang down and the feeble knees. What that is saying, a lot of times we'll get into that place where we can't even lift up our hands. We're so tired, we're so weary, we're so drained. We can't even lift up our hands. We can't even stand sometimes. Sometimes you got to just force yourself just to lift up your hands. And if you can't lift them up all the way, lift them up halfway, like by your shoulders, or just lift them out, okay? And just reverence him, okay? Don't be in that place of just being in a place of depression. But we have to make sure that we just honor him and worship him. Even I found that even when I'm feeling bad, I'm feeling low, I have to still channel that feeling and worship God, because he's still holy. He's still righteous. He's still taking care of the situation. He's still working it out. And when our knees get feeble, when we get weak and weary and we just want to lay down, we don't even want to go anywhere, we still have to get on our knees. I believe that even when you're on your knees, you are still standing. And when you're on your knees, you're worshiping, you're reverencing, you're humbling yourself, you're praying. Even on your knees, you're still standing strong. And he says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. In other words, we have to make sure that we guide our feet. In other words, follow the path of righteousness. We have to make sure we put our feet in the right position. You know, our feet or our minds and our soul wants to easily, you know, go to the left or go to the right and want to do these things and want to see about this. When God says, no, I need you to stay here. I don't need you to go over there. I need you to mind your own business. I need you to stay. Well, look at the path that you have. I need you to be in prayer right now. I need you to be fasting right now. I need you to be reading your word right now. I need you to walk down here and give this person a dollar and pray with them or seeing how they are. I need you to do this. We have to make sure we're focused and keep our feet there. A lot of times we get frustrated and get irritated and we get weary because a lot of times we're going off course. We've gone and exhausted more energy. We exhausted more gas. We exhausted more fuel. We exhausted more things than we need to, and we've gone all way off course. And we don't know where we are. But he gives us a direction to stay on the course. And here's the one that I believe is powerful. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. We have to be peaceful with all of God's creation. Peaceful with everyone. Our goal, our desire, you know, drama and hatred and all this frustration and animosity, that sucks the living life out of me. It does. I don't like drama. I don't like contention. I don't like being in a thing. And sometimes you have to do those things, but it's something about it. It just sucks the life out of me. I just don't like it. I don't. I really don't like that contention, unnecessarily contention. You know, that's why I'm so grateful that even in our ministry, we don't have cliques. We don't have these little discord and there's conflicts and this person. We don't have that. We're all one family. We're all filthy rags trying to, you know, try to get ourselves together and trying to help everybody get our, you know, get help everyone else get themselves together. But here's the thing that our goal most is, we have to focus ourselves. We have to have peace with each other. We have to respect each other. We have to look out for each person. And we have to remember Philippians, I'm going to go down to this, Philippians 3, 14, 14 through 17, or 14 through 16. 14, it says, well, actually, I'm sorry, I'm going to start at 8. Philippians 3, 8 and 17, I'm going to read it all through. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by that same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. I wanted to read that because that is where our focus should be. And 13 to 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. We have a brand new year that is coming before us. We have a brand new opportunity that is coming every day, this hour, this second, every new. We have new opportunities, new horizons, new people that we're going to interact with, new things that we're going to do, new opportunities that we're going to be able to be stretched on. We have to forget about the past failures of our lives. We have to forget about the past disappointments, the past rejections, and begin to allow God to open up our eyes that we may see all the blessings and all the glory that we have. And just that alone will give us the fuel to finish. Amen. Come on and give God praise. Come on and give him glory. I just want to pray with you real quick. If there be any one of you that do not know Christ as your personal Savior, I pray that you begin to come into that knowledge of him, and that you begin to grow in your faith, that you'll begin to grow in your walk and be able to understand. I know that you may have gone through some hard times, some hardships, some devastation in your life, but I want to pray with you this one prayer. And this is the prayer of the salvation. If you don't know Christ, your personal Savior, I urge you, I beg you, before this podcast ends, accept him as your personal Savior. If you don't know him, you just follow after me. It's very simple. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the scripture that we use to let people know how easy it is to, it's already done. It's done for you, but you have to accept them. There's things that you have to do. And it's very simple. It's not complicated. But if you follow after me in this prayer, say, Father, I'm a sinner. And today, God, I make you my Lord. I make you my Savior. I know that you are the Son of the living God. I know that you have died on the cross for my sins, that I may be forgiven. So today I ask you, forgive me of my sins. And I ask God that you begin to allow your Holy Spirit to come into my life, to lead and guide me so that I may grow into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be more like him, that I'll be guided and I'll be yielded. And Father, right now, even with that, I speak with authority. I plead the blood of Jesus and I take authority over my life. And I command that every stronghold, every demonic curse, every generational curse, every plan and everything snare that the enemy has tried to set up for me and my family and those that I'm associated with, that has been destroyed by the authority and the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you right now that the enemy does not have any room. So, Father, we thank you that you have now changed and rearranged our life. If you have said that prayer, if you have said those words, I want you to believe those things into your heart. I want you to believe those things so that you'll know that Christ resides and lives with you. I hope that you have been blessed by this message. I know it has truly blessed me. Oh man, I just didn't know what God was going to say, some of the things that he was going to say and how he said it. But nevertheless, I am so grateful that God spoke to us this morning. But one thing that I know, that you have been healed, you have been delivered, but praise the Lord, you have been restored. This is Pastor B signing out. God bless you. Until we meet again, going into this new year, 2021, here we come. Peace.